Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Ooh,
all right. It's a process joke.
It's a process. And you know what else is a process? Welcome to the Who Goes There podcast, episode 338. This is Jorge.
Buenos ding dong diddly dies. Yo soy Maddie ding dong.
It's a new year. Everyone's getting cooked. And this is free.
It's a little, man,
don't say
a little chilly
everyone
out here.
Don't say everyone is getting cooked.
Well, it depends. We've appropriated the term, by the
way.
We
have. We really have, yeah. And I really love that
we've taken it back.
Yeah, we've taken it back.
Well, we've taken it. We didn't, you know, I don't even want to say we've taken it somewhere else.
We've actually taken it back from the right-leaning assholes that call everything cucked, and now we've called everything cucked.
Yeah. We've cucked cuckery.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
That's right.
Oh, guess I'll high-five myself.
I can't reach it.
Assed out.
I came up on cucked. I came up on cucked.
I didn't want to keep going. Yeah. It's all happening.
That's you, dude.
That's you, dude.
Oh, my God. So how you been?
Chill. New year. You know, new me.
New year, new you?
No, same me.
You're all new year, same shitty old
new
me.
New year, same bullshit all day, every day. Yeah. No, that's kind of... That's it. Been good. Hanging in there. No,
That little cat calendar.
No depressive episodes, you know, aside from after last week's show.
Are you burping or do you have something really, really intense to say?
Oh, my heavens.
He's doing.
Both. My stars. But at the moment, I was burping.
I'll get to the intense shit later. A case of the vapors.
Oh, my.
Goodness.
I always have vapors. Like, I really do. I'm at work and I'm like, you know, I got the stand up desk.
Gas leaking out of one end.
I got the stand up desk because I'm an asshole, right? So
in
I'm
your,
like,
in your cubicle?
Yeah, shut up.
Your cubicle.
It's not even a
you're
cubicle.
A cuckable.
It's like 100 yards of space.
Of cuck?
It's a 100-yard cube.
I'm standing up and I'm thinking about how thin the walls are and everything. And
yeah,
it's like,
in your cubicle.
I could go right through them.
And if someone leaves, like, I just fucking. I just let it out. Does anyone else have a problem with farting at work?
I mean, I have a problem with farting all the time, so yes.
Your work is set up where you're just in that little room then.
Dude, I'm right now I'm by myself at a desk in the middle of an entryway of a
You know what he is?
So you can fart all
he's
night.
He's not just by himself, dude. He's by winning.
I'm winning
over here.
Dude.
Tiger blood.
Over there.
When he said
Tiger's
that,
blood.
I was like, you're fucking amazing. That guy's amazing.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm by winning. He doesn't answer the question either. It's like, I'd say that's a big yes. You know what I mean? It's like in Ghostbusters where they ask if there's any history of mental illness. And then the librarian lady says, like, you know, one of her relatives thought she was a historical figure or something. And he's like, I'd say that's a big yes. Like, yeah, if you're by winning... He's bipolar.
So there you go. Continue. You go.
I went to Vegas, got to see Caps, went to a hockey game. I went to Meow Wolf to Area 15.
I really want to go.
Oh, it is so dope. So dope. Right? You would love it too.
I looked it up after you mentioned it in the text.
Dude,
yeah,
there's so awesome. Much. It's one of those things where you definitely get out of it what you put into it. Like, you can go and you can just look at all the weird shit at face value and be done in an hour. Or you can, like, really go in depth and, like, do a deep dive of, like, the story and the lore of shit. And, like, you get an employee card, like an ID, and you go and boop it on all these different scanners. And they give you challenges to go to, like, these different places that are hidden.
Smoked out, little homie?
Unlock shit. And
it's
like,
kind of nice, dude. Okay.
Learn some of the lore. It's pretty dope. I bought a can of omnipotence for my cupboard.
It doesn't actually give you omnipotence, though.
I mean, I haven't opened it yet, but it might.
Okay.
You know? It says if you don't know, you will. And
that's rad.
Yeah, it's dope.
Yeah, I've been wanting to take the kids because there's one in Vegas. There's one in Santa Cruz.
So for you, I would recommend, like...
There's one in Bakersfield, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, on the way to Vegas, I think.
I was kidding.
No, I'm serious.
Oh, really?
I think there's one, like, I don't know about Bakersfield, but on the way to Vegas, like, somewhere along Victorville, yeah.
Barstow.
I mean, somewhere in that general area.
The place where the world's biggest thermometer is.
Vacaville.
Vacaville. That's another good one.
What is the one with the biggest thermometer? I forgot. Oh, it's Baker. That's what it is. Baker.
Baker.
Right outside of Vegas.
All right, continue.
For you, I would recommend, like, go if you're going to take the kids, go with Ronnie. So, like, when the kids get tired, she can take them somewhere else, and you can, like, really explore.
Well, my kids don't get tired.
I feel like for kids, they wouldn't appreciate as much of, like, the weirdness. Like, it'd be kind of cool on face value, but, like... But, yeah, that was super,
super fun. You misunderstand how annoying my kids are.
That's what I'm saying. That they'd be like, oh, I'm bored. I want to go. But I was there for there for 3 hours. I wanna go. And I still feel like I only, like, scratched the surface.
That's cool.
It was super fun.
What did you go to Vegas for?
I went out to Vegas for a hockey game. My buddy Caps has season tickets, and I knew the Preds were in town, so I was just like, hey, do you want a date? And he's like, yeah. So I went out.
On Instagram, at Capsolutely.
Capsolutely, yep. He's a tattoo artist at Revolution Tattoos in Las Vegas.
Well, since he took you out, did you give him a, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, we bought extra large tubs of popcorn, and, like, you know, I reached in through the popcorn, used the butter as lube. Speaking of which... Dude, in Vegas, they ask you for a tip for fucking everything.
It's Vegas, man.
Like, legit. I'm at the hockey game, and I buy, like, a soda and a popcorn. So the woman literally filled up my soda, and then, like, she flips the screen around. So, like, it's not even, like, you can write in a tip. Like, they flip it around so you can see it.
Oh, I always say you no have to on select. Those.
I've been running that a lot,
like,
here.
I feel guilty because then they're staring at you. No, but, like, dude, don't
I say nay. Flip it around.
Two popcorns and two sodas was already like $30. So, like, the lowest option they give you is 18%. $4.50 tip for grabbing a fucking bucket of popcorn and filling up.
Well, that's actually because there's a lot of that going on. It was introduced. I don't want to say it was introduced during that, but it ramped up during the pandemic, right? So did the flip screen thing. So did the fucking charge thing. And it's not going away.
I tap no. Flip it around.
I tap yes a lot of the time.
Flip it around.
Regardless of what they do, because it's about that, like, they're exposing themselves to harm by being in the food service industry.
That's bullshit. Like, I read a
thing
recently where they're talking about, like, having fast food workers and grocery store workers again getting hazard pay for working the pandemic, but nobody gives a shit about healthcare workers, like, the ones who are at the most risk.
Well, okay, Matt, I'm in the healthcare industry, right? Yeah, and I had a bunch of people.
Yeah, you should be getting hazard pay too, because not only are you in healthcare, you're also dealing with people in recovery and going into courts.
I get what you're saying, and I think on a long enough timeline, it'll turn around. In fact, there's all sorts of things in the works about people asking for increased wages and all that. Regardless of that, though, when everyone, like, half the fucking office when this started at the place I was at was like, oh, I'm working from home. It's like, you're in the healthcare field. Like, the fucking clients need you. Like, I put myself at risk getting in the healthcare field. I'm not fucking, I don't give people burritos. Like, I knew I was putting myself at risk.
Right.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. I don't know about hazard pay. Personally, I'm not like, oh, like, it's like, dude, you're are you trying to help people or
no.
Or what? Well,
I'm literally in it for the money. Literally for the money.
I'm not saying that I don't need to make a living, but I'm not in it. It's the wrong business to be in it for the money.
Yeah, but it also, it's the
like, Wall Street would be better.
No, it's too high risk.
There's very little risk, as it turns out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dope.
Is there a big risk of being in Wall Street?
Of what?
Being a cook.
Oh, yeah, every day. Yeah, every day. Every moment.
Is that what they tell you guys so you don't get rich in Wall Street?
Who's they?
The narratives, dude, that they tell you.
You control the narrative. We've already established that. You're over here bending truths and manipulating things.
That's dope.
It is dope. So yeah, Vegas is fun.
Yeah.
Good.
It's dope. Hella dope.
I said good like I was all offended by it. Yeah. No, I mean, actually, good. Good. I'm glad you had fun.
Yeah.
It's nice to get away. Your whole attitude about this tip thing is just unbelievable.
That's me.
Automatic tipping is for the birds. I fucking hate it.
You're both Mr.
I will flip it around. I will flip it around after saying no and stare them in the face.
I want to. My guilt is just.
Do you do it to bartenders?
No,
you guys tip bartenders though, right?
I do
for filling a drink.
I don't want to. That's the thing.
You're just like norms.
No, if I went and like they made a good drink, like at Kindred where
fuck does that? No. That's their job.
No, if you go to Kindred where they like custom make drinks lighting up
pumping
the little
my
citrus
gas
oil and
skill.
Stuff.
Come
like
on.
The amount of effort. Like if you pour a Jack and Coke, like. there's no fucking skill in that.
What if but you knew that that lady's mom died of cancer?
I don't give a fuck. That's her mom's problem.
So her effort of being there. Like, I can't, that's what I'm
that's
saying.
That's her mom's you problem. Guys, I don't give a
you
shit.
You guys had the norm in place about the bar thing before this, and now that the norms are changing, you're like, no.
No, I did.
That's bullshit, but the bartender gets a
I
tip.
Didn't have that norm.
That's stupid.
I've always thought of tipping for, like, good service.
Well, the reason there's a differentiation for me is that if you go to a concession stand, that person doesn't get the tip necessarily, but a bartender
gets
directly affected by the tip.
If I could, like, tip the kitchen staff directly versus tipping the people that just bring me my food, I would do that.
I like tipping people.
Because they made the food.
I do too.
I like giving money to people that don't deserve it.
Cool, give me money.
I already gave it to a homeless guy. So you're a liar.
Oh, so why doesn't he deserve it?
You deserve it. You do deserve it.
Why do I deserve it?
But I don't want to give it to you.
How come I deserve it? Why do I deserve your money?
Okay, it's too many layers to go through. What about you? What about you, little homie? How you been?
Honestly, just been settling into the new year. And
what do you mean settling into the new year? What happens different from this last?
Quite a bit's happened. But I don't want to bore you about work stuff. We got a new.
That's what we're here for.
We got a new program manager, and it's the program manager I had in South County, who's a good old buddy of mine.
He's a good old boy. You know the kids don't play?
Yeah. POD.
That's right.
I pissed in that guy's bathroom. You know? Sonny's bathroom.
Sonny Chiba?
Yeah.
That's not his name.
No, Sonny Liston. he ran into a tree when he was skiing.
Yeah.
But, it's actually... Yeah.
That was Sonny Bono.
Yeah, that was the joke.
The different Sonnies.
Gotcha. Stupid. I get jokes.
Why don't you get my stupid joke, man? No, but, honestly, just, again, like, settling into stuff. I've had really, really rewarding interactions. This week I went to, each day was something different. Like, I started doing screenings in the jails now, and the screenings are to determine who is a good potential candidate for treatment. Which is like it's a big responsibility.
Can you imagine not getting the stamp of approval for getting treatment? You're like, nope, out.
You're not.
Well, that's you don't tell them like that. What you do is you have. It's a very clinical.
You don't tell them, but that's.
It's a really clinical process, and honestly, it's about what it is. It's client centered. It's about basically what serves the client, what serves the person.
What.
So I'll tell you, that's what I mean. If someone is schizoaffective and it's extreme and if they need a certain level of care, then drug court's not going to be realistic.
Oh, so you're not just kicking them to the curb. You're like, get to another department. Thank you very much.
Exactly. Go on now, everything's about coordination of services. And, well, it's supposed to be, right? Once you involve the legal system and all that. But then the biggest single factor is motivation to change, you know. But because they're getting asked while they're in jail – We have to understand most fucking clients in drug court, they have these thing called stages of change, and most of them are in contemplative stages.
Oh, I heard
change.
That Creed album.
Yeah.
Stages of change.
Don't talk about it. I don't want to talk about Creed right now. No, but
look at this photograph.
Yeah, man, if you're
If
you're asking a guy in jail,
and what the hell is on Joni's hair?
All right.
That's you with your leather jacket, man.
Dope.
Okay, guy in jail, sorry.
No, but if you're asking a guy in jail, you know, do they want to go to treatment? And they're like, well, does that mean I get out of jail? Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And it's like, yes, but it's going to be 18 months, and you're going to have mandatory groups, and you're going to have mandatory testing. We're going to put you at a sober living. You're going to have a curfew. They're like, oh, what? Oh, can I see my girl? Oh, blah, 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 blah. It's like, maybe. We'll see. It depends about this and this.
Can I still do my drugs, though, dude?
Well, unfortunately, no. Well, I don't really have a problem with drinking. Like, oh, okay, let's explore that. And this and this and this and this. And it's like, oh, you have 3 DUIs. So you don't think you have a problem drinking? And it's not my job to sit there and argue with them. It's like, okay, so I write on there, client reports not acknowledging issue with drinking despite 3 DUIs because it's a fact. And it's probably not true. Probably not true. You know, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, it's a real interesting process, but the idea is to stay out of your personal ideologies with it. And that was one day. Like, another day was picking up a guy from custody and taking him to a treatment facility. It was something different every day this week. And so, yeah, it was also like there's two or three different people out because of COVID. So that's where it, suddenly it's like I'm doing extra stuff.
Meanwhile, I still can't catch it even when I'm fucking trying.
Dude, I think I've had it. I think I've had it like 9 times, but
I get tested like every week and I still haven't gotten it. I just want like the paid 2 week vacation from work, please. Thank you.
But yeah, there was a guy though. Obviously, I'm not, it's not about divulging names or something.
He's like Homer S. No, I mean, that's too specific.
H. Simpson.
Yeah. No, but he's like, honestly, I walked in, he's all, yeah, I know what you're here for. Honestly, I don't think drug court's for me. And I'm like, okay, what am I, you know, if you don't mind me being candid, what am I doing here then? Right? Because they had a previous conversation with somebody. And he's like, well, I've been talking to the guys in the pod and this and this and this. I'm like, so you've been talking to guys that are in jail and they're telling you that treatment's not a good idea. So you might want to consider the source. But I respect your autonomy. And then I stayed there for another hour talking to the guy. And why did I do that? Because it's like, because I'm talking to him. He wanted to talk to someone, and I'm planting seeds. I'm like, look, I work for drug court, but beyond that, like, I hope you're right. I hope you do your time and everything works out. But if it doesn't, I hope you remember this conversation. Not so you can join drug court, because you, so you can remember later what you were telling yourself.
So you went full dad energy on his ass.
That's how, dude, that is the energy. It's like, it is. Because it's not like, it's not my judgment either. It took me 7 years to get over 90 days, dude. Yeah. So I'm not like, oh, you're in denial and blah, 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 blah. Like, if you tell people that, like, their fucking head shuts. It's like, fuck this guy. He doesn't know me, and I don't.
Truth.
It's like, you know, I tell them flat out, like, I'm not the expert in your life. You're the expert in your life. But based upon what you're telling me, if this happened every time, I don't know why it's going to be different this time, but maybe it will be.
All right.
Anyway.
That's what's up.
Been a lot of rewarding stuff.
Okay.
What about you, little homie?
It's been it's wild, been. Man. It's been. No. The end of the year came and went. And Cuckery. That means that our schedule is lightening up a bit. Thank fucking God. Because I was at about burnout time. Because, yeah. So, I think otherwise, work is good. Yeah, family's good. Haven't caught COVID yet that we know of.
Yet.
It's the worst day ever. So far.
Yeah.
That's Homer Simpson's wisdom.
So far. Miggity Matt?
Yeah, buddy.
Watch anything, play anything?
Miggity Matt.
I'm going to say no. I mean, I watched Your Name last night again because I'm just on the whole.
That anime movie?
Yeah, mission to make myself cry all the time.
The what movie?
It's Your an Name. Anime film. Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of that one.
Yeah, I know. You gave me the DVD.
Oh, yeah.
The DVD. And
that's your outlier type thing.
Yeah. So I get to. No, that's because of Stevie Dio. That's just how he always said it.
He gave you the DDD.
But I ain't really done shit. I've been watching Dairy Girls. I finally get to take a break from Dead by Daylight because I got the Fang Men outfits I needed, and so now there's no new reason to play until the Ring chapter comes out.
You getting smoked?
Don't worry.
I can move it.
Good. Yeah.
Is it moving?
But that's it. I ain't really watched or done shit.
All right.
Well, that's fucking crazy because we didn't get to check in with what we watched last week. So I've got 2 weeks of stuff.
Oh, my God in heaven.
That I'm going to get through real fast. I promise. Like, and okay. We've talked about some of this on the Discord, but the Discord isn't people who listen to the show. Like, well, it is, but there's a lot of other people. I watched 2 Steven Seagal films.
Dope.
One called On Deadly Ground. No, dude. It's amazing. It's a beautiful film where he's in Alaska and he's protecting the Eskimos.
Because, you know, Steven Seagal's nothing if not, like, culturally sensitive.
Sorry, it's the Inuits?
whatever you want to call them.
Okay.
He's protecting them. And and he's fucking them, as it turns out.
Wow.
You know, because, I mean, naturally he's going to get the Eskimo
chick. He's going to
get that.
Like, why would he do any of that stuff if he wasn't trying to pull some tail?
Yeah.
But then I watched one from years later, from 2016, called Contract to Kill. And this is...
He loves those fucking 3-word titles.
Yeah, but this dude, this one...
Out for Justice, Marked for Death, On Deadly Ground... Under Siege 2.
Contract to Kill. Yeah, Above the Law.
Yep.
Yeah.
All of them, dude. That's it. He's like, yeah, they really have a nice punch, like a 1-2-3 punch.
this Contract to Kill movie, like, Jorge, I wish you'd watch it. Cause, no. Oh, dude.
I feel like I'm more likely to watch it than him.
Like, one of his secret weapons on his espionage team is an Asian dude with a drone. And it's like, oh, state of the art, you know? Because also, so he's like, in this film, he's affiliated with the CIA and the DEA, or CIA, excuse me.
I was like, what's the CIA?
Yeah. So I'm getting all my fucking letters confused. CIA with the DEA talking to an FBI lady, and the Mexican cartels are at war with terrorists. So he's like, fuck it, let's get the cartels, the terrorists, the DEA, the CIA, the FBI, throw it all in there, I'll have an Asian dude with a drone.
The DDD,
and like, dude, it's fucking great, it's nonstop, and it's another one where I wish I, you know, like, I want to, like, do a great fucking write-up of this, but just watch the movie if you want to watch something really, really Down syndrome, because it fucking goes there. If you think Steven Seagal in the 90s was a problem, you wait till you see him in 2016. And any pretty chick that's in this movie, it's like, damn.
I'm honestly surprised he's even alive.
And then later on, they have a sex scene. It's like, yeah.
yeah, maybe.
That's what happened here. Anyway, besides Steven Seagal,
I don't even
stuff,
think he would probably do something a lot more creepy than like, you got to give me head. It'd probably be like, you got to let me, like, smell your hair or, like, lick your feet or something. I feel like he would have a much, like, skeezier bar,
creepier vibe.
Did you hear him, like, how he speaks? He's like, he's on a fucking, like, he's
he thinks he's like an Aikido master, which is dope.
No, but I mean, it's like he's on a shitload of medication and he can barely get out fucking sentences.
He needs to, like, you know, manage the pain from all those years of kicking ass.
I guess that must be it. A little film called The Matrix Resurrections came out.
Did we talk about that on the show?
We have not talked about it on the show.
I thought you did talk about that last week.
We have not talked about it on the show. Last week was the year-end recap. And so, yeah, we haven't talked about Matrix Resurrections at all. I talked about seeing Matrix in theater, the original. So I did this to prepare for this movie. I did this. I tried to watch The Matrix Reloaded. Mm-hmm. And after about 10 minutes, I was like, holy fuck. Like, this is bad. So I did a 45-minute fast-forward version of Matrix Reloaded, and it's fucking horrible. So if anyone's I knew it was bad, but, dude, it's horrible. It's fucking bad. If people are like, oh, I love the sequels, like, dude, you're fucking, you have problems. Like, it's not good. The second one wasn't even good. And I was thinking about putting myself through it to watch Revolution so I could get the lore, and it's like, no.
There's no need.
There's no fucking way.
Yeah.
When I got to the architect, Sophia had fallen asleep, and I woke her up.
Y'all, watch this shit.
Dude, and she's like, what? Why are you waking me up for this? Why are you waking me? Do you remember what he says in that scene?
Oh, of course, dude. I've seen that many a time.
Dude, it's bad. And so that leads us into The Matrix Resurrections. And Matt, you didn't watch it because you talk shit about the original 99 Matrix even.
Yeah, because they're all trash.
That's a mistake.
And apparently the new one's trash too. Dude. I was right.
What'd you think of the new one, Jorge? We've talked about it so much on Discord that it feels like we've already said everything, which is a mistake. But
I think that if you enjoy the new Matrix film, something is actually wrong with you. And you may need to seek professional treatment for your mental illness. So yeah, that's it.
It was awful, dude.
It was terrible, dude.
It was fucking unimaginable. Like, I mean, it's like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull or these
fucking Wachowskis were like, what do we name a character that's like a typical dude? Chad. That's what we're gonna call him.
Chad is like the ultra dude.
And it's like, yeah, okay.
That was going to be my name, dude.
I get what you're doing because it's so much better. It's meta, and you're
meta Chad.
You're flipping the thing on us, but it's like, no, we know what you were doing, so stop it.
Well, and dude, not even the action in it is good.
No,
you see what I mean?
That Merovingian scene
where he's homeless.
Get him! You've done this.
Fuck off.
Dude, it looked like a Power Rangers movie scene.
Yeah.
Like, it was fucking weird.
They just kept funneling in from the stairs. That was bad.
The choreography's not good. They gave, like, fucking Neo a force blast thing because he didn't have time to come do choreography in between John Wick movies. So, yeah, besides all the other It's crazy. They have fucking friendly AI. They talked briefly about this thing where there was a war with the AI and people split sides. I'm like, that sounds interesting. They don't go into it, but they introduce these friendly AI that are inexplicably shaped like cute animals.
That's dope.
Well, it's like, why are the cute ones the friendly ones, you know? Like,
big fish.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the same argument that Jean-Pierre was making in Mutant Blast, dude. He's like, why does everybody think dolphins are so cute? Like,
when they're a bunch of fields that
poop. They think they're the smartest, but it's just because they're cute. Like, lobsters are hella smart, too.
It's a great fucking point.
Fields that poop.
Because people only care about the cute animals.
I saw a meme that said Mutant Blast had a better environmental message than Don't Look Up. Or, like, a stronger environmental message.
Speaking of Don't Look Up, I watched that movie.
Segway.
That was a good segue. And I talked a little bit about to you a couple weeks ago, but we didn't do it on the show.
Yeah.
And look, I like Adam McKay. Obviously he did Anchorman and shit.
Oh, yeah, you like Ian McKay, dude? Name three of my third songs.
Name three McKays.
Name four Iron Maiden albums.
I can't.
Yeah. Somewhere in Time.
Don't do it. Head for the Hills, dude.
That's not an album.
Run for the Hills.
That's not an album.
Nico McBrain, dude.
Nico McBrain?
That's one of the drummers, yeah.
Is that his name?
He's dope.
Mm. Okay. Nico McBrain?
What a dumb name. A movie. He did fucking Vice. He did The Big Short. And I liked, I think he was a great voice to cover those because he does this comedic thing. He makes this stuff that's like filled with jargon feel really accessible with these comedic flourishes, and he gets these good casts to do it and these kind of weird editing techniques that were very timely in like the middle 2000s. And I think this premise is good, and he's assembled another great cast, and the movie is 2.5 hours and feels like an extended SNL skit, even in its good moments, like a pretty solid SNL skit with some big-name cast members. And it proceeds to do this for 2.5 hours and go into, like, DiCaprio having a fucking affair with Kate Blanchett, and then fucking Timothy Chalamet shows up because apparently he told someone he's interested, so put him in the movie. And it's just, like, it's a very smug fucking movie. And for people, like, who are anyone rational, I don't think it's saying anything new or sophisticated about anything, honestly. And I think it should be at most 1.5 hours. I think there's a reason Dr. Strangelove, which covered fucking nuclear war and the potential nuclear holocaust in the 60s. So a long time ago, you know, is 1.5 hours. I think there's a reason it's 1.5 hours. And yeah, it just kind of, and the editing is like,
the year 2022 when we compare Dr. Strangelove
to, yeah, because
to Don't Look Up.
Absolutely.
That's fucked. Well, I mean, I just hate that there's any parallels to it.
Well, there are. It's satirizing. Look, man, I love satire. And again, I don't dislike Adam McKay.
Oh, you love like satire?
Name five satirists.
Gulliver's Travels, dude.
Oh, that's not a satirist. Him.
Yeah, it was. Jonathan Swift?
Yeah, okay, Jonathan.
Fuck
Swift
you,
is.
Gulliver, dude.
Jack Black by extension, dude.
Trey Parker and Matt Stone, dude.
That's true.
All right, continue.
Okay.
Don't Look Up. Didn't like it.
I, you know what? That's the thing. It's just I wanted to like it. And
I wanted to.
And I love, look, and besides the parallels to like COVID and climate change, there's parallels about like accepting the reality of death, reality acceptance, and not having toxic positivity, which is in my field a lot. There's a lot of people like, oh, just stay positive. It's like, don't tell them that. They just lost everything. Stay positive is some dumb shit to say. Like, they need to accept where they're at. Like, that's a really fucking actually kind of, I'm sorry, insensitive thing to say. Like, just stay positive. Like, shut the fuck up. You get what I mean? Like, dude. Anyway, he can't see his kids.
All right, next thing.
Anyway.
I think he said he was going to keep this short, but now we're two movies in and it's like 10 minutes later.
Yeah.
Licorice Pizza.
I've been on
my
phone for the last 20 minutes.
Shut up, bitch.
Good or not?
Licorice Pizza, I liked it a lot, and okay. I like and it's not my favorite Paul Thomas Anderson film, but he has yet to make a bad film. And it's one of the sweetest movies he's done. And there's a few moments that are fucking just fantastic.
All right. If you like Rhett movies, you like Licorice Pizza.
Whatever that means. You might not.
You know what that
it's
means.
It's definitely not a dark film.
You like Licorice Pizza?
You like Licorice Pizza?
But what Paul Thomas Anderson does like really well is he likes to see people break the fuck down.
Put licorice on pizza? Is that what he says? He puts licorice on pizza. I do like K-pop.
You don't get to make fun of anything ever.
I get to make fun of everything. You know why? Because I don't take myself seriously.
You
serious
do,
enough.
But I can't take it seriously. Because
I don't either.
You can't take the fact that seriously that he doesn't take himself seriously.
Exactly.
And
so
round
that
and
means
round
that
we
he
go.
He takes me seriously.
And the tragedy of Macbeth. Fucking great. One of my favorite movies of 2021. If it was a direct horror film, it would have been my favorite in the genre. As it was definitely a recommendation as a horror-adjacent film. I loved what Joel Cohen did with it, the entire production design. Denzel, like, everyone knows Denzel Washington is Denzel Washington. But Denzel, that boy, can do some fucking Shakespeare. Don't look at me like that. I'm the one saying good things, okay? And rip Sidney Poitier. By the way, right? Now that you're looking at me.
No. Rip every black person ever.
I watched a bunch of horror shit, too. I watched a film called Seder that, because we were doing that year in wrap up, and I wanted to make sure.
Oh, is that Tenet movie, dude?
No.
It's the one I told him about during Tenet,
though. It's not as good as that either, but, you know.
He's like, I get it. It's the Seder Square.
I get
Square.
It. Forward, backwards. Like, Seder Square. I get it.
You don't get shit.
That was you, dude.
A repo.
That was
opera,
you. You're the one.
All of it.
Got it.
But
you don't get it, dude. Tenet is forward. It's the same backwards, dude.
Matt had seen this really early, as he does, at a film festival, Telluride.
Yep.
But it wasn't released for streaming till this year.
Telluride.
T-Ride, as people like to say.
Tried.
Yeah, that's... Well, no, because there's a dash.
T-Ride.
It's not good.
You're not good. How was Seder?
It was really atmospheric. I think it's fucking amazing what they did with the limited budget. And that
it was a film.
What's his name? Jordan Graham?
Sure.
I mean, he did everything in it. He did the cinematography. Oh, yeah. The sound design in this was amazing. And the last few moments of this, where this builds up to, are very upsetting. Like, it's actually a really downer, brutal ending.
That's his grandma, dude. And, like, he was saying that the whole thing is based off of, is, like, based on actual stuff with his grandma.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, I think the film, and again, this is me saying this, so that tells you something. I think it's a very slow film. I think it's an intentionally slow film. And I would have benefited from seeing it in a theater because you don't have anything else to possibly... It's just that in front of you. But yeah, I'd recommend it to people. It's on Shudder. I watched... Oh, I'd never seen... Because this James Wan fellow that did Malignant and other stuff, I'd never seen Insidious. Or Insidious Chapter 2, or any
weren't
of
that. Weren't you here last week defending it?
I wasn't defending it.
I was.
Ah.
Yeah. You don't remember anything.
I don't.
Okay, good. But I really enjoyed this fucking shit, though.
Okay.
As like...
Shit.
Well, I like the mechanics of it, of the astral plane and all that stuff. I even like the second one. It's not as spooky or anything. But yeah, you were defending Insidious, Jorge?
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
You like the second one?
I don't remember.
They're
kind of
jumbled.
Honest. I don't remember.
There's a timey-wimey part in Insidious 2 that's super fucking, like, clever. It reminded me of Interstellar, but in a much more accessible way. And then, shit, man, what else? Dexter, Yellow Jackets.
Dexter was good.
Dexter is, Jorge, you talking some shit, man, but it's getting fucking
good. Oh, the last
really
episode's
good.
Tonight, right?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I'm excited.
Tonight? Well, it's at 9 if you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, because.
Wait, it's Saturday.
Yeah, but Eastern time, it's midnight.
But doesn't it? Oh, it comes out.
I guess it comes out at like 12:01
Showtime.
Oh, I thought it was Sunday nights at 9.
What is, but like that's when it airs. But I think on the app or like on their website, it's 12:01 on
Sunday. If you
have
Showtime, they're available at midnight. But
Eastern
time.
Oh,
is 9 p.m.
That's
here.
How you guys have been watching it ahead of time.
Yeah.
Okay, we always wait till Sunday night.
And it says something, too, where I'm just like, I can't fucking wait. Because it's been a while with streaming.
It's
been a while. And Yellow Jackets, the last episode, was probably the strongest one I've
seen. It's good. Yellow Jackets is fucking.
I only watched the first episode of Station 11, which got, like, all these ridiculous reviews from critics. Now a bunch of people, some listeners on Discord are saying it's really good. You're saying you really
like it.
It's
weird as shit, man. It's a bizarre little show, but I do like it.
The first episode was really well fucking done, but it's another thing where I'm like, this is really well done, and I don't know.
I kind of don't care.
I don't want to watch the second episode.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I don't know why, you know? And then...
it's a little fucking cute. I will say that.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a little cute.
Yeah, it's just, I just, you know, What differentiates it? But I haven't. I've only watched one episode.
I mean, yeah, I don't want to go too far into it because you haven't seen more than the first episode. But, yeah, dude, there's a lot of cuteness about it there because you've got these like long stretches that are like just Shakespearean performances by this like stellar cast,
yeah.
And you go, okay, well, what's next? And then they give you a little bit, but it's like, oh, okay, I got to wait three episodes to find the resolution for that. But it's a good show. I like it. I really do like it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling manipulated by two shows like that right now. So I maybe that's what it is. I've hit my quota with, like, waiting for shit to happen on shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the ultimate cuckery, I do want to mention I showed Sophia, who had never seen it, Field of Dreams.
Wow.
And I tried not to cry, and I cried three times.
Good.
Yeah, and I don't like baseball. And
feels good though, don't it?
And I have no shame saying that this fucking white nationalist Field of Dreams movie. No, but it's totally not like that. But
it's not white nationalist at all.
No, not at all.
James Earl Jones is in it.
And the chick cusses out Beulah, the fascist pig at the school, who's trying to burn
Beulah.
Books. When's the last time you watched Field of Dreams, dude?
Beulah.
That's not a movie I enjoy.
Because you're too dark.
Is that why? All right.
What'd you watch?
So other than Yellow Jackets and Dexter and continuing to watch Travelers, which is pretty fucking good right now, we started watching Silent Sea. I don't know if you guys have seen this. Yeah. It is a sci-fi horror, Korean sci-fi horror TV show with a lot of actors that you will recognize from
Squid Game.
Two episodes in.
That's the only thing Korean anybody would recognize.
This shit.
Except for me.
This shit is fucking real hard.
Kim Jong Il.
So it is a future that supposes that the water supply on Earth has basically dwindled to nothing, which is impossible because water never goes away.
It always just
exists on the planet.
Energy never goes away.
That's what I mean.
It can't be created or destroyed.
So
dude.
The water would be somewhere.
It would change form into vapor.
It would
vapor.
Just be acidic.
But
that's
then it would.
You mean hydrogen and carbon would not go away.
Right. So we could figure out a way. But anywho.
Sure.
Neoscience.
This is a future in which there's a base station on the moon and mysterious things happen.
Oh, so it's a documentary.
And if you like...
Elon Musk inspired.
If you like sci-fi-y things happening on the moon.
I don't.
That are...
Is Roland Emmerich doing? Because then I like it.
And it's not with the moon. It's on the moon.
Oh, then I'm out.
So I'm out. But no, I really, really...
Also, it's like... what was the Ad Astra?
It's like, it's like underwater, but on the moon.
Oh.
So good.
Outer spacer.
Yeah.
You didn't like the space pirates on the moon in Ad Astra, did you?
Much more outer space. Yeah, because in this show, they actually pay attention to physics every once in a while.
That's a mistake.
When they're like, we shoot a gun and you can hear it in space. That's a mistake.
Hey, you like Starship Troopers with the
open
flames
in space? I mean, I'm pretty sure you could hear the guns in Alien, dude. Aliens.
Yeah, but they were in a station.
In space.
In space.
Yeah.
But in Ad Astra,
I could hear the Death Star explode.
They're on the surface of the moon, and it's like, oh, we're a really, we're a hard sci-fi show. Better pay attention to things.
So basically, anything in space should be a silent film.
Yes,
except when they're in interiors.
Exactly.
That's no fun.
No, especially when they're in interiors.
Even more quiet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Silent Sea, super dope. Really enjoy it. I highly recommend it.
You had mentioned a while ago you were watching a show called Rescue Party.
Oh my God, yeah, that's a great show.
Okay, well, I was listening to NPR because, cook, right? So, anyway, I was listening to NPR and they had some people on there and they were talking about how the show's wrapping up and this. I'm like, what fucking show is this? And they're talking about the dark side of millennial individualism.
It really digs into that.
How individualism winds up the same place regardless of the template for it and all. I'm like, what is this? And they finally mentioned it. I was like, oh, Jorge was watching.
Yeah, Rescue Party is really good. I mean, it's been over for a couple years now.
Okay.
It's got Cousin Maybe from Arrested Development. Was the main character?
Shock at. It's on HBO Max, right?
Yeah. It's really I really enjoyed it. Ronnie also really liked it. It ends really strangely, and it's got this anti-hero thing that you have to kind of struggle with. But it's a good show, regardless.
Okay, I might give that a shot.
Yeah, it's
good.
Based
on what I was hearing.
All right. Any news before we get to the break? We should get to the break.
I don't know.
All right, we're gonna take a little break and then come back to talk about a film.
Yeah.
Wow, that is true.
Just take it out now.
No, it's not. It wasn't in there. Oh, boy.
Take out my thing I said about Denzel and Sidney Poitier.
No.
You said you loved them.
I do.
Okay, well, then I don't need to take anything out.
I'm ashamed.
You're ashamed of saying you like them?
I'm ashamed of being ashamed.
You're ashamed of your words and your deeds?
Good.
You getting smoked out, homie?
I'm getting smoked out.
You want me
now.
To move it, homie?
I got.
Let me move it. I don't want you to suffer.
He's got a fire pit, ladies and gentlemen. And it feels
just
wonderful.
Sit over here.
I don't want to sit next to you.
Fine, fuck you. I'm trying to sit closer to you.
Well, it's because if I sit next to you, we'll start fucking. You know.
We're not gonna record this, right? Are we recording this?
We are.
I hope we're recording this. I hope they know that I feel such attraction to you that if I sit next to you, that I'll start grabbing
your.
I'm
the one
that's
like half naked, and you take the heat away from
me. Well, you want to move it further that way?
Yeah.
I don't want this guy to feel cucked.
Oh! Yeah, dude, if I sit next to you, I'll grab your crom.
Come on, baby.
You could grab his crom.
Yeah.
Just like...
The crom can be the product of the crom or the crom itself.
Huh. The omnicrom.
Yeah.
Omnicrom.
It is both cum and the schlong. It's crom.
Mm. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, buddy.
Guess what, homie?
This fucking fire's dope.
We're freaking back, yo.
Yeah, you got a bunch of nuts in your mouth, too.
Do I have nuts in my mouth? And while I have them in there, can you tell these motherfuckers about Patreon, my dude?
Yeah, sure can, man. You know how I knew George had nuts in his mouth? Because we have a secret text message that doesn't involve Rhett. And much like that text thread, we all have our best-kept secrets. But you know what? It's time to share those secrets with all of you guys. And we can do that when you go to patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. You hear all of the weird shit we talk about before the show. Like... I don't know. Like I said, what was it? Ruining my Bumble dates, Rhett's cuckery in his cubicle.
Your cuckery.
You know, George complaining about his kids, like how much he really hates his kids.
You're cucking yourself.
You know, but in return, we'll give you other stuff, too. You're helping us do the show, and you get exclusive content, bonus episodes. I don't know. Maybe there will be a bonus Scream episode this month. Possibly. But patreon.com/whogoestherepodcast. It's dope.
Can I tell you something about what you just said, too? These
no,
nuts.
No, you absolutely can't.
Well, I'm going to. These nuts that you're eating, I'm allergic to them. Good. So it is like you're just.
Put one on your hand then.
You're excluding
there
me.
You go.
I mean, if he was allergic to it, that'd be fucked up to do. I mean, really, he is allergic to it.
I am allergic to him.
If he was sitting on his hand right now. He's
yeah, but not like that. If I eat them, my throat will swell up. Like I got a big cock in it.
Oh!
You know what that sounds like? I won't be able to breathe. It's
sounds
cashews.
Like these nuts cucked you.
I'm going to throw this in the fire. The fire. Oh, you don't want me to... You want to do that?
Right in his mouth.
Aww. Almost.
Oh, it's going to bounce back into his
do
mouth.
It again. It's on
I'm
the
not.
Floor.
It's all over my...
Rule. Come on.
On my fucking hands, man.
Now he's going to have to wash his hands before we start. Can you go wash your hands?
No.
I feel like you do, because I don't want you to, like...
No!
Start dying.
This is cuckery.
Let's go.
That's Let's for go. Cucks.
All right, where the Who Goes There podcast watched a little film from 1996 called Scream... Directed by Wes Craven, written by Kevin Williamson, starring... Uh-huh.
Of Dawson's Creek fame.
Nev Campbell, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, Skeet Ulrich, Skeet. Drew Barrymore, Roger Jackson, Kevin Patrick Walls, David Booth, Carla Hadley, Lawrence Hecht, W. Earl Brown, Rose McGowan, Joseph Whipp, Matthew Lillard, Jamie Kennedy, Lisa Beach, and Tony Kilbert? Is how I think that name is pronounced. Hey, Rhett.
Hmm.
What'd you think of Scream, dude?
Honestly?
I mean, that's what we're here for.
Or do you want me to just bullshit because, like, Scream is good automatically, right? Why is Fear better than Scream? No, I'm just kidding. Look, I don't feel that way.
Mark Wahlberg.
No, well, because it does, yeah, because Scream doesn't have Wahlberg screaming through a fisheye fucking lens, right?
Yep.
But,
it does have Skeet Ulrich.
I think the movie, I haven't seen this in many years. I think it's aged very well for the most part. I think it's a good mid-90s fucking time capsule film. It has some horrible upholstery on the couches. It has some horrible posters on the walls, including the Indigo Girls and a peace poster with like those 90s flowers that were trying to look like the 70s. So it was already retro, but now it's double retro because it's 90s retro being 70s retro. But I think, honestly, what I didn't remember was, like, the little subtleties. Like, Jamie Kennedy in this. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Malibu's
mm-hmm.
Most Wanted.
How fucking annoying he is.
I actually thought his comedic timing was really good. actually. And there's little looks he does here and there that I didn't, you know, when I remember seeing this in the theater, like a couple weeks after it came out with a bunch of chicks and freaking, they were screaming. And this was, because it's screaming. I remember the entire experience, you know. And yeah, it's weird for me to watch it though, because you know how they have the little cameo with Wes Craven as the yeah, he's the custodian at school. It looks like Freddy Krueger.
Uh-huh.
It's like
And
it's like that's not clever by today's standards or anything, but this was like kind of ground zero for being meta about the slasher genre, because it's weird to think about when the movie came out, like Nightmare on Elm Street was only 12 years old. It had only come out like 10 years before it. So it's like it really got me to feel old, basically, because I remember seeing it and like, wow, that movie's old. And now this movie is almost 30 years old. You know what I mean? It's almost three times older than Nightmare on Elm Street was when it was referencing that. But yeah, I think it does a good job in a lot of scenes of being funny and actually being suspenseful. And I think the kill at the beginning is still audacious. It reminds, again, the obvious thing to compare it to. Because Drew Barrymore was in all the promotional materials. So when she gets killed at the beginning, that was a surprise at the time. It's similar to killing off Janet Leigh in Psycho. And yeah, I don't hate the movie. I think it's one of the better 90s slashers still. I don't love the movie. And yeah, Kevin.
Wow, what a milquetoast reaction to fucking Scream.
No, it's
I'm just actually, kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just
it's
kidding.
It's a comprehensive reaction.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
You just want me to say some polarized thing.
I'm just kidding.
It was bad.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I do kind of have a milquetoast reaction.
Okay, good.
Because it is kind of milquetoast.
Miggity Matt, what'd you think of Scream?
Milquetoast Matt.
I am also milquetoast. It was there.
It was kind of toasty.
It was just there, you know, like. It's not like when it's chilly, you got to turn up the heat, oh, yeah!
Woo!
It didn't get like that.
No, you know, like, that opening sequence is still one of the best opening sequences ever. Like, just the little cat and mouse game, the little phone calls, like.
In horror, I kind of agree. You know what?
Oh, yeah.
I wish it was Eric Freeman on the phone, though.
So oh, yeah.
Like, do you like scary movies? Punish! Punish!
That would have been good.
Garbage
you
day!
Yeah. Naughty!
Naughty. She was naughty. Yeah, it would be cool if Eric Freeman was in it.
Yeah. The acting in this is terrible.
Dude,
all of them. All of them. Like, I don't remember.
I don't. For us, you're in the slasher genre?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like.
Neve Campbell is really, really good.
She's okay. Everybody else is overacting or underacting. Like Rose McGowan, like I don't know how she ever got work. I mean, and well, it's because she's hot. Like that's why she got work. It doesn't matter if she can't act. Matthew Lillard, no idea what he's doing in this. He's charming, but in a like, oh, you poor idiot kind of way. Jamie Kennedy and his voices, like
there's no. Economy Johnny Depp.
Yep, dude, I love the fact that this dude's name is Skeet. Like, come on, like he's the star of this movie because his name is Skeet.
Skeet.
The twist of having two killers, like I remember that was just like mind-blowing at the time. And I put this movie on and I just like largely didn't care. Like I remember the movie almost in its entirety without having seen it for years, so I guess that speaks to like how impactful it is or memorable it is. But yeah, ultimately, there's a reason why I haven't watched Scream in 15 years.
It was a case where I had almost perfect recollection of it,
yeah, too,
when but I started watching it. And it was like, so that does say good things about it, but it also says it's just like.
But it also allows me to not care just because, like, I remember the major story beats and I don't care about, like, the little threads that connect them aren't enough to keep me entertained in between the kills and the surprises and, like, the high action moments.
I think it's difficult to talk about it without considering when it came out in this case, obviously, right? But because
that's yeah. exactly what I was going to mention in my quick little.
Yeah, what do you think?
I don't like this movie in the year of our Lord, COVID plus five. This movie, watching it now, mm-hmm. sucks. I fucking hate it. I hate everything about it. I hate the acting. It's motherfucking.
What about the Moby song?
Hold
the
on
end,
a second,
though,
motherfucker. It's 1996. It has the worst soundtrack. That
the
could
only
have,
song that I
that
remember
could have,
is
that could have been Nick imaginable, Cage, right bro. Hand, I'm awesome. I'm like, oh, dude, it's 96. They've got they got so much fucking ammunition for a good soundtrack,
you steal
and it's
my
like,
sunshine.
Bro, I can't. Yeah, my dog is. I'm gonna push her into the fire. No, man. I think I liked this movie in 96, and I think that was the last time I watched Scream. In 2022, this shit is awful, bro. I don't enjoy it. I'm bored 99% of the time. The twist, because we know it's coming, is kind of like, oh, cool, great, cool. It's Skeet the entire time.
Then they kind of did that for, like, the whole thing, didn't they? Like, two had two killers. I don't remember three very well.
I don't remember two and three at all, and I never saw four.
I heard four kind of turned the franchise back around, but...
Well, and then what they're saying is it's almost as good as the first one.
I started watching it, and I think I got 30 minutes into it, and I was just like, yeah, I'm done. But it's got Hayden Panettiere in it. You know what I mean?
Who the fuck is that?
Hayden Christensen? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's a
Hans
looker.
Christian Andersen?
He can't. He. Yeah, that's good shit. Yeah, Hayden Christensen can't act, but boy, is that guy a looker. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
He's especially in Revenge of the Sith, like his chest starts popping out. He's like, I'm not going to work on my acting, but I will pop out my chest.
What about in Revenge of the Nerds? Good stuff.
Hayden Christensen?
Yeah.
What is he, like four?
Probably.
Sorry, I had a dog emergency.
Well, you came back and we're talking about Hayden Christensen and
this stupid ass dog was gonna knock over all my kids' dominoes, and I can't be having that.
So you hate this movie?
I cannot stand it. Everything, dude. The fucking what's his name? Who's the Dewey? Who's the actor?
Officer Doofy.
I can't handle him. I can't fucking handle Courtney Cox.
Oh, Courtney Cox.
Everybody fucking sucks in this movie. Well, Neve Campbell is bad. Fucking,
she does that weird little shuddery thing all
Rose
the time.
Rose McGowan is bad. Skeet Ulrich is bad. The fucking I know it's supposed to be like a little fucking like a little fucking cute, but like these little shots of Ghostface in the background going, I'm Ghostface.
Wait, was he in the background? I just missed it.
Yeah, a couple few times, like in a supermarket of all places, and it's
really?
Like I can't do this, man. I can't.
But when Flanagan does it, you love it.
I can't subscribe to this newsletter, and I wish I could get off of the mailing list.
Yeah, I don't hate the movie.
But it's got Henry Winkler in it, dude.
Yeah, he sucks. Does anybody think Henry Winkler is a good actor?
I mean, I kind of like him in Waterboy.
He's probably our greatest 20th century actor.
That's true. Now that Sidney Poitier is
David Arquette is bad.
Patricia Arquette in Nightmare on Elm Street 3, though, is very good.
She's also very attractive.
It's weird that they have economy Johnny Depp in this. And Johnny Depp's first film was Nightmare on Elm Street. And it's weird that they have David Arquette in this. And his sister's first film was Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
That is interesting. Yeah. More interesting than this film.
So you're saying like there's this group of Hollywood elite that all kind of hang out together.
They're all boning and grooming each other.
They're all cucking and sucking.
Right.
But,
from the womb to the tomb.
Yeah, I think, again, it's impossible now because things are so... Look, we just got out of the most meta year ever, and we just fucking watched, like... God, what did we just watch? That was... Oh, The Matrix Resurrections and Halloween Kills.
Except for him.
I know, but these movies, and even Candyman, which I think was generally effective, was part of your top five favorites of last year in the genre. Mm-hmm. Admittedly... All three of us think...
that's a mistake.
Well, admittedly, it's kind of a weak year for the genre, but nonetheless... So I'm not against the idea of that, but this was a fresh idea in 96. And in 96, the horror genre, particularly the slasher genre, was kind of suffering.
This was actually like based off of actual events that happened in Florida. It was like...
of course.
It was like the college killer, campus killer, something like that. But it was a true crime event, and like, some guy was like, oh, that'd make a really good horror movie. And then he wrote Scream.
Well, Kevin Williamson, you guys know who this fellow is?
Nope.
Nope.
Well, he went on to he was a big deal once this happened. He did Dawson's Creek. He went on to I believe
sounds about right.
And then there was a bunch of stuff. Did he do I Know What You Did Last Summer? Did he do fucking Disturbing Behavior?
The stink of all of those trashy late 90s horror movies.
Exactly.
Like, see, like, when I was watching Scream, it felt as bad as I remember I Know What You Did Last Summer being.
Because I know we make a slew of mistakes on here. So what else did he write?
Hold on. Let me get back to the relevant year. I Know What You Did Last Summer, Scream 2, The Faculty, Teaching Mrs. Tingle, Scream 3,
Cursed. See all that?
Cursed, the only thing I remember about Cursed was that it had an Alkaline Trio song in it called Fine Without You. And then they did this remix. It was like some werewolf movie with Christina Ricci.
So he did The Faculty, he did Dawson. I mean, this is 90s. This is late 90s, the guy.
But even, I don't know, man. I know
it's you got, like The Faculty.
I know it's got the stink of the 90s all over it, but.
You don't like the 90s?
I don't. That is true. I do not. I love him.
No, you don't.
He barely tolerates you at this point.
You can't hate Scream and love the 90s. It's over for you.
He
now.
Committed to loving the 90s, and now he just says he does. He's really just going through the
very
motions.
Milquetoast about
no
the
90s. No one is allowed to change their mind ever
about the 90s.
In life, about anything.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I get it, man. I know that like this we got a real good twist in this motherfucker, and it's real meta talking about
it's
like
it's impossible to watch it for the first time in 96.
I think that whole thing where it's like you gotta have the questions about horror films.
It had literally never been done before except Wes Craven's New Nightmare. So like Wes Craven was really he had his head up his ass and is getting meta, and I appreciate that because
that's
me.
And the references about fucking horror films, I'm just like
they just ham-fisted.
I can't. Have you ever watched Nightmare on Elm Street? What's the character's name? What about Jason? I bet you idiots didn't think it was fucking Pamela Voorhees the entire.
They made the comment that Jason didn't appear until the sequel. That's not true. Jason appeared.
No, they said
at
he's not
end.
The killer.
Nah, they said the line.
He's not the killer. He said, who's the killer?
But they said you would remember that the killer was Jason's mother. Jason didn't appear until the sequel, which is not correct.
He jumps onto the rowboat. Okay, but
played by my friend Ari.
I get what you guys are saying, right? I do, but this is like, I don't want to say pre-internet, because sure, the internet existed in 96, and it took 45 minutes for a page to load, but like these movies, Halloween was not like everyone fucking knows everything about everything and you can hashtag thing and look things and there's no Google and this. So this was a new thing. It was I don't want to say a niche thing, but kind of.
Actually, there was a thing called Metacrawler.
Yeah.
Which is pretty dope for you.
I watch Halloween and like, fuck I watch the original dude. Halloween and I still see all the merit in it though. Like I watch.
Oh, I know, but like, this is a postmodern film. Like it's a horror movie about horror movies. It's a slasher movie that's analyzing slasher movies, and it's doing it in the 90s, so it's going to be obnoxious.
Yeah.
Right? So
I like it better when it was Behind the Mask, dude.
Well, and that's what I mean, and that's definitely influenced by this, not vice versa, but...
Well, yeah, since one came out 10 years prior.
If there's ever an example of stuff suffering from time for the... Look, I mean, dude, God, we grew up and saw this in high school... And how many things have we fucking seen
okay,
since
so,
then?
So, you know, like, forgiving the time. When, okay. So there's a scene where Skeet is being interviewed by a cop, and he's, like, asking about the cell phone. He says, well, everybody has one.
Not at that time.
Okay, positing the fact that we do live in a world where everybody does have a cell phone. Why is nobody else using one?
No, because he's saying that people are beginning to have cell phones.
Well, I know, but he says literally everyone has one. But the only people that ever use a cell phone or are seen with a cell phone are the killers.
Even like speaking of the fucking first scene, like the cordless phone, like that's what I mean as time capsule stuff. And that doesn't even mean the movies. I'm just saying how it works as a time capsule. Like the idea of you being able to hear your daughter getting killed because she has a cordless phone, is a specifically 90s idea. Because after the 90s, it was irrelevant. And before the 90s, it didn't exist.
I mean, after the 90s, it was cell phones, so you could hear your daughter getting
murdered. That's what I'm saying. But this was the first, that's exactly what I'm saying. So it was not like there was no novelty to it anymore. But this is like, it could only exist in the mid-90s before literally everyone started having a cell phone. So he's like saying all the kids are doing it. Like, he's saying that. But... it brings back that time when it was very rare for someone to have a cell phone.
I remember that time.
Yeah. But also at the same time saying everyone's got a cell phone. Yeah. So is he just being kind of tongue in cheeky?
See, that's what I don't
think
say.
The movie. Saying I don't all think the kids are doing.
I don't think the movie's
that
clever.
Yeah, but literally
though.
No other kid does.
You don't think Wes Craven is that clever?
No,
no, no.
That's fucking stupid.
No,
you're not
no.
that clever.
No, I am. Thank you very much.
No, you're not.
He's an English major.
Yeah, yeah, but it didn't mean shit.
He's not an English
He's
major.
Clever. Yeah, I was.
He's a traveling dentist.
I mean, traveling dentist.
I can't believe
you know
guys
what's a good
are,
job
of all the things, dentists. This dumb motherfucker, the character says everyone's having, it's a shitty alibi.
Yeah, but you're talking about like, you know.
You're acting like that's Wes Craven not knowing that everyone doesn't have cell phones.
Well,
like,
no, but
you
then
didn't know
why,
that, right?
But then why posit that they do?
It's a stupid line. Yeah. I get it, but that doesn't
that's
mean
that
saying.
Wes
Craven's
we're
retarded.
Saying that it's stupid. Well, you're
he
the
might
one that
be,
said
though.
That.
No, he's not.
You're the one that said that. So like, you know, clearly that's what you think.
You think.
No, no, I never said
you
anything
think
about that.
That
I said
the Soska sisters are smarter than Wes Craven. That's what you think.
Yes.
They might be.
And People Under the
They're
Stairs.
Smart enough not to die.
People Under the Stairs is your favorite 80s movie.
People Under the Stairs is dope, and it is my favorite 80s movie.
Even though it's
it came out in the early 90s. Still 80s.
Get out
it
of here.
Was begun in production in the blah,
yeah,
blah, blah,
I'm not
blah,
gonna,
blah.
I'm not going to have you guys sit
People
here.
People Under the Stairs is fucking
Has
tight.
Wes Craven made mistakes? Yes. Yes.
Constantly.
Do you think this
was
is
the mistake saying that
constantly and
has
almost
a cell phone?
Overwhelmingly?
Shut up. Do you think this is one of them? Maybe.
Yes.
However, he did also make Last
where's
House on the Left.
Where's
he
the
did
defense
do
here?
Nightmare on Elm Street. He did do Shocker, which is a beautiful film. He did do People Under the Stairs. That's he did true. Do The Hills Have Eyes.
That's true.
Which the remake is much, much better than the original, but in the 70s, that's a dope ass idea.
That's also true.
He did The Serpent and the Rainbow, which is not particularly good, but it's about cool stuff.
Oh, so then that's okay.
Yes. So don't fuck with the Lords of Hell and don't fuck with Wes Craven. God rest his soul.
So as long as your film is about something that's kind of cool, then
you get the pass with Rhett.
No, no. I don't even think it's that great a film. I just think it's cool that it's about something.
He's like,
that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying.
No, I didn't say it gets a pass. I don't think it's a good film. I said that.
Yeah, but you're okay with it because
I'm looking at his career fucking comprehensively instead of this fucking one line to say, he's not that smart. Like, so he was a smart dude.
So basically, Scream sucks. Wes Craven sucks. Thank you, Rhett.
Yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street doesn't suck. Scream doesn't suck. It's extremely influential whether you think it
sucks
or not.
Oh, now you're saying it doesn't suck.
I don't think it sucks.
That's not what you were saying
a
minute ago.
That's a mistake.
You are making a mistake. Wait a minute. You think Scream is you think it sucks, Matt?
I don't think it sucks. I think it's boring.
It's milk toast.
I think it's like...
Yeah, which sucks.
It's weird because I feel like it's aged well, but it also hasn't aged well.
You're fucking powdered toast, man.
I don't know. I wish.
Oh, dude, you imagine the ass on this
yeah,
guy being powdered
yeah,
toast,
dude.
Man?
That's, I could be powdered toast, man, huh?
No. I mean, actually, he does got a pretty cute dump truck on him.
That's what I'm saying.
Dump truck for garbage day.
Yeah, wow. We should watch that movie every week.
I would much rather watch that than Scream ever again.
Yeah. How is it?
I'm
aged
not
going to
watch
well,
it for like 20 years.
Well. That's what I don't get.
We just went through why it hasn't aged well.
No, but also has aged well. Like, it's aged well where, like, you can watch it and it still works. If somehow you've managed if you manage to not see Scream for the first time, like, there's a charm to it, and then, you know, you don't know the twist. If somehow you've been living under a rock. But, like, once you've seen it at all.
Well, but also, like, dude, cool. When we're talking about the twist, come on, man. Skeet Ulrich... The entire time is giving the camera these fucking looks like, I'm the fucking killer.
Those are called bedroom eyes,
I'm giving the, I'm the fucking killer. And we're like, okay, so we
missed
it.
Well, he even has a character say like, fucking, you're telling me that's not a killer? Yeah, but nonetheless, when I first watched it, I didn't know it was him. Because it divides who, I'm thinking it's him and him.
Nobody could fathom that it's two people.
Exactly.
Like, at the time, that was just unthinkable, you know? So like... We're like, oh, well, no, he's in jail. And,
is that true,
and she's
though?
Still, yes, dude. Like, I mean, at the time.
Absolutely.
When that movie came out,
that's
it
what you're
blew
not like,
fucking people's minds. I may not remember much
short
term.
The shit was that formulaic.
But I remember long term, like, when that movie came out, nobody wanted to actually talk about it because they didn't actually want to spoil it. Which, even back then, was super crazy that people were like, no, you have to see it. You knew there was a twist, but you didn't know what it was.
That's what I'm saying. Likewise, when you're talking about, I'm comparing this to other slasher movies, right? Which you guys kind of know what I feel about most of them. You're
I
talking
feel
about
like you're coming around.
You're
honestly.
Talking about the poor acting in Scream when you like Friday the 13th. Like, dude, this, yeah, the acting in this is Shakespearean compared to that.
To be fair,
see, but that's the thing.
Fair,
is the acting
I don't,
bad?
I don't like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nightmare
that's
Before
a mistake.
Christmas. That's a mistake.
I don't care that it's a Hot Topic.
I don't like Nightmare on Elm Street either.
Yes, you do. We watched it, and we all liked part one. We did it on the show.
I remember liking things about it. I do not like
You said
like
this
the
movie fucks.
Wait, are we talking about Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street now?
Yeah, I said Friday the 13th right now.
I think all of them.
Which one, regardless of what you like or don't, which one has better acting,
Nightmare.
Scream or Friday the 13th?
Well, Nightmare has better acting, I think.
No, Scream or Friday the 13th?
Was, okay,
Friday the 13th has porn level acting.
But the question,
this
the
has
question
soap
is,
opera level acting.
The question is the acting in Scream bad intentionally or is it bad non-intentionally? Because with what you have to realize is with Friday the 13th, it was a super low budget movie. So they just got like whoever they could and friends and whatnot to act in this movie.
I do understand that.
But Scream is a big budget picture where they're getting stars. They actually got the people they wanted, and it's still bad acting. I'm not exactly convinced that Jamie Kennedy is such a good actor that he can act like a bad actor,
bro. Malibu's Most Wanted.
That's pretty good. You know what, man? You articulated it pretty fucking well, and I'm glad that you did. Good.
Yeah, I disagree.
You think Jamie Kennedy
is so fucking good that he is...
He's so Shakespearean.
He is so good that he can play a kid.
I don't think
who is a bad actor so that we can get meta fucked by the narrative.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything coming near any of like the dialogue, which is not that great, or the acting, which is not that great in the Friday the 13th series.
Right, but you're comparing apples
well,
to oranges right
now. I'm comparing slasher movies.
I think they're both bad.
Okay, but
I'm bringing that up because you're here. Let me fucking you know where this came from? You're talking to Jorge about the twist. He's like, was it really like that? Yeah, they were that formulaic. They were that bad, except for like the Wes Craven ones, like Nightmare on Elm Street, which was not that formulaic, but still you had the virgin trope. You had all that shit, which Wes understands because he understands it's mythic and it comes from puritanical shit. And like the virgin is virtuous and all that bullshit. And he's like, okay, to hell with that. Let's have her lose her virginity and then reveal who the killer is. So that hadn't been done. None of that shit had been done. And so, because it was that formulaic.
Are we still talking about the bad acting? I don't get what your point is.
I'm saying if you can say that twist was fucking different.
Wait, so are we talking about the twist now or are we talking about the bad acting?
I'm saying it's a low bar to clear for it to be more sophisticated than other fucking slashers with its twist, with its acting, with its dialogue, and it's more sophisticated than all of them before.
Here's the biggest issue is that, like, for me, I'm watching this from the lens of being a 39-year-old person. Like,
and that's a mistake.
But I'm judging it on its merits now.
Fuck that.
Because as a child, yeah. Oh, dude, this fuck. Oh, fuck. Oh, fucking Ghostface, knife killer guy. Oh,
I didn't love it when I was in high school.
But then there's also movies that we can watch, like Black Motherfucking Christmas, and the original is still dope. 40, 50 years later.
I agree.
But like,
and I think that's superior to this film.
So you can watch that through a modern lens, and it's still good.
Like Psycho is a masterpiece.
Scream through a modern lens is not great. It's as through a modern lens as a commentary on slasher films. It's a little cheeky.
It's silly to attack its acting because
I'm just saying the acting is bad, and I don't think it's intentional.
There's moments in this film that actually take me out of watching a movie when, you know, so they're all sitting around the couch watching a film and they're like, oh, the blood is too bright red. I can't, and I'm like, that's a black and white movie you're watching. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And it takes me out because I'm like, okay, if this movie's so fucking clever and so fucking meta for 96, I go, well, you can't even get your fucking little bullshit details squared away. I'm out.
They were not watching a black and white film.
Well, that's what I mean. The TV is so fucked up that like you can't tell if there's color on the goddamn
screen.
You're
misrepresenting Wes. I can't do it. I can't do it, Jorge.
Hey, have you ever Friday the 13th while you Nightmare Before Christmas while you fucking
Halloween
while you Halloweened all over your fucking? It's
no,
like
no, I
pl- come
I'm
on,
playing around
man.
A little
like
bit,
come
man.
On, come on!
I just can't believe you hate it. I don't.
I do not like it. I think it's largely bullshit. And Courtney Cox can get the fuck out.
Yeah.
I think she was well cast in 96 as a bitchy news person.
I think she was well cast, but, you know. Like,
well, no one just told you life was gonna be this way.
No one hates Friends more than I do.
Sometimes you're broke, you joke.
No
one. Love life's the way.
No one hates Friends more than I do. It has nothing to do with her in this movie.
I don't think there's anybody who says that they don't hate
Friends there are.
Less than you.
Yes, there are.
I hate Friends to an absurd amount.
Nah. Yeah. Not like me.
I've He's never. Like,
I hate Friends so much that I've watched every episode 30 times so I could tell
I can tell you unequivocally, I have never seen an episode of Friends.
Well, then you don't know how much you hate it.
I
do.
Fair. I hate it so much argument. That I've never seen an episode. That's how much I hate it.
Now you're just being prejudiced.
You don't have the hatred because I've seen an episode.
I do.
And I know what I hate. I can name my hatred. I can identify what it is I hate. You're just like, that looks bad, and you're right.
Yeah.
And I'm not going anywhere near it.
Yeah.
You're smart.
And I'm usually pretty correct on that.
All right. Fuck, marry, kill, Courtney Cox, David Arquette, Henry Winkler.
Good question.
Specifically in Scream.
Kill Henry Winkler.
I thought he was going to kill Courtney Cox.
Fuck Henry Winkler. Thank you. Fuck especially old Henry Winkler.
Courtney Cox and marry David Arquette because I feel like he would be cool, like, outside of, like...
Yeah, no, I would kill Courtney Cox, fuck Henry Winkler just so I could say I stuck it to the Fonz, and then marry David Arquette because he's a wrestler, and I feel like we could get along watching wrestling together.
Okay. What about you, little homie?
Well, you're not leaving me. Am I supposed to go for the one that hasn't been taken yet or just
We both have married David Arquette so far.
Yeah. Well, the absurd thing to say would be fuck Henry Winkler.
Why would that be absurd?
Because I want to say fuck the old Henry Winkler.
Well, then you can. You can fuck the old. But wait, you mean the old Henry Winkler, like, back in the day?
It's
old,
the
or old as in, like, he's aged?
Like, now.
Okay, yeah, then fuck him.
No, but that's the absurd thing.
I think he's a corpse.
Is he?
Well, fuck the corpse of Henry Winkler.
Yeah. Hey, Siri. Is Henry Winkler dead? She's not on your internet for some reason.
As long as we don't fuck the corpse of Sidney Poitier, because that would be inappropriate, right?
Oh, sure.
But... that would be the absurd thing to say, not the sincere thing. The sincere thing would be fuck Courtney Cox.
Why?
Because she's a woman.
Oh, so you...
And I happen to be heterosexual, generally speaking, right? So,
He's still alive.
Yeah. In fact, though, you know what?
Homophobic.
I'm going to switch this around.
Okay.
I'm going to fuck David Arquette.
Okay.
Because it's a one-time deal.
It'd be fun, too.
One-time shot, fuck him in the ass.
And because he's kill in death Henry matches.
Winkler. I'm going to kill Henry Winkler, and I'm going to get married to Courtney Cox so that we can fuck multiple times.
Well, she's got that Friends money, too. She was pulling in over $1 million per episode, so...
She could probably just have me killed off, though, to get out of her legal contract, but it's all right.
I think, yeah, she'd just make you disappear.
Yeah. Still worth it. Is it?
I don't know.
She looks like a fucking... yeah, she's had Botox a few times.
What's the worst 90s sitcom? Is it Friends?
Friends.
I mean, it depends on what you mean by worst. Like the least worst. Enjoyable. Like Friends is arguably the best because it's like
what,
the most. No, because I mean it's the most successful. Like it brought in the most money.
You know what I mean when I say worst.
Successful well, then, doesn't mean
then
best.
Fucking Seinfeld.
And you mean it made
what?
Hands down, Seinfeld is the best. I mean, it's 80s into 90s.
You say what, best or worst?
Worst.
I said worst. Oh,
yeah.
I was going to say, what
you're,
the?
We're a little off.
Fucking 90s?
Worst 90s sitcom.
It's ever. Friends or fucking Home Improvement.
Why
Home Improvement? Was dope.
It's horrible. You know what? I'm a fan of that, and not because I'm a fan of it. I'm a fan of doing it because it's retarded. So I'll be like,
so you like Home Improvement?
Because yeah, I think of like Blanka and Street Fighter 2 and he wins a match and he's like,
this guy's a Tim Allen stan.
Yeah.
Right. Hella. Right. Yeah, definitely.
The Tool Man Taylor.
Yeah. Just like I'm a Kurt Russell stan because he Rhett took over Santa Claus duties.
He's actually got a tattoo right here that says Tool Man.
Fucking Raul Julia over here.
For me, it was Tuesday. We should watch Street. He says that in Street Fighter. Nah, that's man. Tough. Home Improvement is a horrible fucking show, dude. It's a horrible show. It's got bowl haircuts. It's got tools.
You had a bowl haircut.
No, I didn't. My hair was way too wavy and coarse. I tried to have a bowl haircut, and it was like this.
Well, yeah, but it was still a bowl haircut, even though it sucked.
I did not have a bowl haircut. I tried before I met you.
I know. I've seen pictures.
Oh, that's
And you had a bowl haircut.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah! Got him!
Well, it was a mistake.
Yeah, I know.
I've reformed.
Well, now you doing a bowl haircut would be fucking rad.
What is your favorite Wes Craven movie, Jorge?
Probably They.
Last House on
them?
The Left.
What the fuck is that one? They or Them? The one with the fucking...
They, Them.
They, Them. The one with the shadow monsters. That's the one.
What the fuck is he talking about?
That's a good movie.
That's a good movie.
I don't know that that's... Is that Wes Craven?
It is, I believe.
I don't think it is.
They.
I don't think it is. I want to say it's Clive... Is it Clive Barker?
They movie or Them movie? Oh, fuck. We're getting into Protowns. Protowns?
Protowns.
It's They.
And you didn't say that when we did the fucking movie.
No, I said it was fine, but that's a mistake.
No, it's not. Especially not for 84. That shit is dope as fuck. And of course, that would be my favorite Wes Craven movie, given the subject matter.
Why?
Because it deals with dreams and the subconscious and the fucking manifestations of fear
because
and archetypes.
And dreams with sleeping.
Because
and
it sounds dope if that's my favorite fucking
Wes
Craven
movie.
Wes Craven has a working knowledge of why people like horror movies.
Imagine.
You know what he doesn't have? A working heart. Because he's dead.
Imagine identifying with Wes Craven, dude. That's fucked.
Rhett's a mistake.
This is the narrative where Rhett is an asshole for liking Wes Craven. I love it.
Yeah, how dare you.
Isn't it weird? Like, you guys, this is your guy's horror show.
It's not mine. Like, no, I don't like Wes Craven.
Yes, you do.
I do not,
That's
man.
The thing. George and I have been doing this show so long that ultimately we just hate horror now.
Did you like
so
Red
jaded
Eye?
That we
no.
Hate
Red Eye was good too.
I'm looking at this list and I don't like any of this shit, dude. I'm being
honest.
Well,
it's definitely not Them or They, whatever the fuck you were coming up with.
People Under the Stairs is probably it.
Oh, People Under the Stairs.
Yeah, that's probably it.
And it's dope.
And it's the least Wes Craven movie of them all.
No, it's not. He's totally fucking
He gets it because he's he gets it.
No, well, no. Like Hills Have Eyes has
he
a lot
get
of
it. You're
has
right.
a lot of subtext
what?
And undercurrent.
No.
Like, and he's also, he's constantly like, here's a trope, let me turn it in on itself. Like, fucking Hills Have Eyes, when it came out, it's like, oh, it's not a bunch of teenagers, it's a fucking family. And they're out in the middle of nowhere. It's like, and it's like, now we've seen that 9,000 times, but
so
at the
basically
time,
what we're saying here is Wes Craven is better
than shithouse B-horror.
No, it's better than anything, what's his name from Tenet has come out with.
You're
hands,
out of your mind.
Hands down, dude.
No, he's done a lot of bad stuff.
Better than Chris Nolan.
Like, My Soul to Take is supposed to be
any
horrible.
Day of the week.
He's better than John Carpenter's Vampires.
Why can't I find this movie? I know what movie you're talking about, George, but I can't seem to
he's
fucking find
better than John
it.
Carpenter's
it's
Ghosts of Mars.
It's not Wes Craven, by the way.
Who is it? I want to know who it is.
But that's a good movie. I really enjoy that film.
You know what? Vampire in Brooklyn is better than The Thing. That's what I want. Look at Matt. Matt's head. I got him. I
like,
got
what?
Damn, that was a good That was a good
I'm about to push
damn.
Your face into the fire
Vampire
like Sarah.
Vampire in Brooklyn is a mistake. But even then, you see, he was trying something. He's all, fuck it. I'm going to try this out. See how this goes. It's horrible. But,
oh
you
God.
Know, he's swinging for the fences.
All right. Well, I mean, I think even though Rhett is very positive on Scream.
I'm milquetoast.
He's.
But you're like saying you hate it. So I feel like I have to save it.
Why?
Because it's not. I thought it. I know it's aged. I know it's aged. But dude, like, it's aged because we're like fucking bombarded with internet.
Oh, so you're like a you're a Scream stan like the Hocus Pocus stans are Hocus Pocus stans. Got it.
Where you can't admit you've been wrong all this time.
I didn't love the movie in
that's not
ninth
what you,
grade.
That's not what you said earlier.
That's not what you, dude.
I said it was fun.
That's why you wanted to do these movies back to back, was because you're like, guys, I've always loved Scream.
Uh-oh,
it's one of my
they're
favorite.
Doing my shit now. Now you're rubbing my fucking rhubarb. I said because we got a new Scream movie coming out, and you guys have never done part one. So
and
have
you're
it be
so
a
stoked
episode.
Because you're such a fan on the original.
I have high hopes for the one next week. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's like the tattoo you were talking about getting was a ghost face tattoo.
Yeah, ghost face with a knife.
It says
who, licking it.
It says who you're gonna call, Melissa McCarthy.
You know what? Here, I'm gonna piss you off. I like Scream better than The Faculty.
Well, that's just a mistake.
I mean, that's a mistake, but that's not gonna piss me off.
It's not a mistake.
You're stupid.
It's fucking it's literally a better movie.
You're dumb.
You're dumb. It just doesn't have CGI monsters.
I mean, did
it
Scream?
It would be better if it did.
Scream doesn't.
That's what I'm saying. It would That's be better why he if likes it better. It would
yeah,
better
it'd be
if
a lot
did.
Cooler if it did.
Yeah. Nah. You say that wouldn't. If it's you say that if it's a bad thing.
You know what
thing,
else
go,
Scream doesn't
no,
have?
No, I'm saying that's cocaine. Why you like the Faculty more.
Yeah.
No, because
exactly.
It's
Josh Hartnett is because
it's got better acting.
Josh should get jacked up or whatever he fucking
yeah,
says.
Yeah, it's got better acting. It's got a more fun premise.
It's got better acting.
It does. Elijah Wood is
Patrick.
Yeah, and Elijah Wood is over there just acting the fuck out of that thing.
Hey, man, we did an episode on the Faculty. I don't
Yeah, you know what?
We
were a lot more favorable of the Faculty than we were of, yep. of Scream.
Yeah, and
so
I think
you
that's a mistake.
Yeah, 2 milk toast out of 3 is positive for Scream. Thanks.
Yeah.
All
I
right,
think
well.
It's suffering from age that we, because we're fucking 40 years old, man.
So but you know what's good? Huh. The Faculty.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we got
it's
two thumbs up and a milk toast.
It's okay, and it also has
two
the Offspring,
thumbs up
so
and
I,
a milk
it loses
toast.
2 stars immediately. Like, you want the Offspring in this movie? I think this gains a star for not having the Offspring.
Honestly, for me, Scream gains a star just for having Red Right Hand in it. And that puts it up.
Fucking good point.
And that puts it up to 2.5 stars.
You know what it kept feeling like to me? I'm like, is this a Farrelly Brothers movie?
I don't know
like,
what that means, but
it's like Dumb and Dumber. I'm like, they fucking did Red Right Hand like two times in this movie.
Yeah, it was so
and
dope.
I'm like, you know what? The Farrelly Brothers beat you to this, Wes.
They had a wealth of songs to pick from 1990 to 1996, and they did fuck all with it.
Dude, they had a Moby song.
And I'm like, oh, it's because it's Wes Craven, dude. It's a low budget, blah, blah, blah. Pick some good songs. Get rid of Skeet. Please.
It wasn't even low budget.
It was low budget.
What was the budget?
You're just thinking it's fucking just cause.
What was the budget?
It's
too much.
Box office mojo, that shit.
Too much. I'll tell you too much.
Wait a minute. You're acting like, oh, it's a high budget
because
Wes Craven was
no,
on
because,
fire
no,
in
No, because it's a major motion picture. It's a Dimension film.
It's still not a fucking high budget movie. Dimension is an independent film company.
Compare
and, wait.
Compare it to the budget of Friday the 13th
that's
adjusted for inflation.
That's not the same thing,
do
is it.
Math it. Math it happened.
It's not Avatar just because its budget
you're
is
not
bigger
Avatar.
Than Friday the 13th.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
This
is they could
Avatar,
at least, they could at least afford some good actors.
This is literally my Avatar.
Well, I mean, like, that's a mistake
right,
as well.
What are we watching next? Oh, fuck.
We're watching Scream.
God, damn it.
And it's the people who did Ready or Not. And
you
the trailer doesn't look good, but neither did the trailer
what?
For Ready
we
or
could
Not.
Always, we could always just push new Scream back a week and then just do 2 and 3. In the interim.
No, God, no. Anyway.
And then
look,
do 4 for Patreon.
Look, man, I've defended against
and
you fucks.
And the MTV show.
I've defended against you fucks, but I don't want to watch the sequels, ever. So
you defended against us from what?
Yeah, why?
Because I think it's better than you guys are saying, but I still don't want to watch
the
sequels.
Oh, you mean this specific time. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
got
yeah,
it. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah,
all
yeah.
right, where the next Scream movie is next week, unfortunately. We'll see what a piece of shit that is.
It's not going to be a piece of shit. It's people who did Ready or Not. Track record.
So, Rhett loves the Scream series, hands down.
Scream Stan.
Scream Stan.
Definitely not.
Just like he loves that new Weekend album. That's pretty cool.
The new Weekend album is dope.
Wow. That's saying something.
It's fucking, it is saying something.
He got Jim Carrey in his fucking album, and he's like, ugh.
It's a really good use of Jim Carrey.
Dope. All right, well, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 338. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Matt.
This is Rhett, and we are less than 30 days away from Moonfall.
We are less than Jake.
Bye, Sophia.
Just like anyone, he's just like anybody. Just like anyone, he's just like Reed.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive. Never get out of this world.